Okay, so now we're going to continue to go to that base, but we're going to start from the bottom of Alpha base. We just quoted Rav Chinna b'Shem Rav Chisda that Hekdesh and Hefker are the same halachas. That is to say, if you say it's Hekdesh while it is Koma, and then you're paid to it, it's not going to be Potter from Isris, but if you say Hekdesh while it's Shibolim, and you're potter, that it will be potter from Isis, just as if you would mafgir it while it was kama, you're not potter, and if you do shemalim, you're going to be potter. They're exactly the same. That was what Rav Chinna said. And milehan drabanan pligin, from the words of the rabbis, you can see that this machlokas on this. And the Gemara is now going to explain how we see the rabbanan arguing on this halakha. And you have to hold cup for a while, because it doesn't become clear until a little ways down here on Beis Amud Aleph. Dom Rabbi Yechon Mashem Rabbi Yana, Yivon Li Be'et Kimei Lakim Kanach Lehi Mach, Masha Yishlcho, Ve'en Lo, Ela Ato, I'm sorry, Masha Yishlcho, Ve'en Loi, Ad Chayiv Li Ten Loi. What he doesn't, what you have and he doesn't have, that's what you have to give him Mises from. Yotza Lekit Shiyotcho, V'yodai Shovin Bo, anything where you and he have the same rights, that you don't have to give him anything. So, his drasha was based on Uvah HaLevi. So, the assembly, she says, is the Bezdin of Abin HaNasi, had a question on this regarding Hekdesh. Hare Hekdesh. So, they asked a question from Hekdesh. Hare Ein Yarkov Yarei Shavin, Kamish Yarkov Yarei Shavin, that you and he are equally have no rights, and it therefore should be the same as both of you have the same access. In other words, just like we said that Hefker or Lekha Shechem Pei, he has access if he was an Ani, just like I have access if I'm an Ani. So he's the same, and therefore I'm Pater from Maestris. So the same thing should hold true, Lagabi Hekdesh, that just like I don't have access to it, so he also does not have access to it. We're both awesome by law because it belongs to Hekdesh. So the same way that the Hefker was Potter because of Vaha Levi, so Hekdesh should also be Potter because of Vaha Levi. But we know that that's not true. Why? Amar Bila, Manan Kayamin, what's the question? The question is like this. What are we talking about? Impishinus Mar Hakri, Bushos HaHefker, Bushos HaHekdesh. If the state of Miruach took place while it was in a state of Hefker, or while it was in the Rishos of Hekdesh, Amar Torah de Rishos de Gonfo, has to be your digun, your pile, Lo Shel Hefker, the Rishos de Gonfo, Lo Shel Hekdesh. So it can't be that you're obligated if at the time of the Miruach it was Hekdesh. Elokinan Kayamen, so what are we talking about? Pesha Hefker Shabalim, because of Zachman. So you went ahead, and while it was Shibolon, you are mafgaret, and then you are chazu zeicha. So then it's hefker potter, you're going to potter from hefker. But in the same case, the hektish chayiv, you're chayiv by hektish. How do they know that? How do they know hefker is potter and hektish is chayiv? That's from the next thing. So Eli is going to explain how they knew it. And the raya is that they're going to prove this from is not even quoted by the Yerushalmi. That's what makes this a little confusing. We're now going to quote something which is only the beginning of the story from which we can derive the actual question. I never liked that. That the Ikar is Chasim not safer. But that's we have to accept it, I guess. Behefker Patam Nahi Dom Rabbi Yechon B'Shem Rabbi Yanai. Because it says, Vali Kichin L'Kav V'Nachli Mach V'Mash Yeshul Cha V'Ein Lai Atchayv L'Kin Lai Yotza Hefker Shiyadcha V'Yodai Shavim Boi. But by Hekdesh Chayev Min Hadar. By Hekdesh you're going to be Chayev. As it says, Hekdesh Mono, Pada Mono is Chayiv. Now, it doesn't quote the Sefer, but that's where the main proof is from. So if you look down in footnote 8, you'll see he quotes in the second paragraph. The Mishnah then continues. And this is the part from which they're bringing a Raya. That what? If you consecrated the crops before they arrived at the tithing stage, and you redeemed them, they're obligated in Maestros, because you redeemed them before they became Roy. Now, if you consecrated them before they were finished, and the temple treasurer finish them, the gizmo finish them, and then you redeem them, then they're going to be exempt. Right? So, again, right? Let's just read it one more time. If you consecrated the crops before they arrived at the tithing stage, and then you redeem them, they're obligated. If you consecrated them after they arrived at the tithing stage and redeemed them, they're vitor obligated. It's only if you consecrated them before they were finished, then the gizbar finished it, and then you redeemed it, then you are a potter. Okay? Only if the crops were temple property at the time they were smoothed into a pile, are they exempt. Because that's the pshat digoncha. It has to be your digon, your piling it up. That's the mechayev. So that's the main thing we look at. So that's the section which they were using as a source for their the given fact that the grain, which was declared hektish after it was detached from the ground, is obligated to miser. Means it's obligated to miser if you were makdish it before the miruach and you were appointed also before the miruach, and then the miruach took place while it was in your rishus. So, but Masha Inkin Hefker, we said, if you're mafker it while it's shibolim, and then you redeem, you went chayzav azaycha by while it was shibolim, in that case, we could say you're going to be potter, even though you didn't do the miruach yet. So, that was their kasha on this comparison. I'm going to say b'shem b'chizav, so that if it was what? And if it was hektish, that it's the same as Hefker. Here we see it's not the same as Hefker. So let's read at the top. From their question, it's apparent that they maintain that the detached ears that were declared hektish and then redeemed before being made into a pile are still chayv and maestras. So that's how we know that they're in disagreement with Rav Chanina in the name of Rav Chisda, because he held that the hektish was the same as hefker. So the Gemara asks a question. Ma bein hefker, ma bein hektish. What is the difference? Why does declaring hefker after it's detached exempt you from the tithing, whereas being declared hektish does not exempt you from the tithing? Hefker, yotzi de hakol. It left everyone's hands. Rights to the owner and the levy are thus equal, and both could have acquired it when it was ownerless. Hektish, lo yotzi mide gizbar. Hektish, it never left the hands of the gizbar. So therefore what? Let's see what this means. Ten. During the time that the produce was hektish, the rights of the owner and the levy are not equal. Why? Because the owner was the temple treasurer. He had access to it, but the levy did not. So in the question, they assume that the only one who could separate miser from produce that was consecrated is the person who redeems it from the temple. The temple treasurer held, that the assembly held, could not have separated miser from it before it was redeemed, because the law is that miser can be separated only by the produce's owner, and the treasurer is not the owner. So therefore, he asked that the produce that was once consecrated should be exempt from having to be tithed, since the one who redeemed that produce and the levy had equal rights in it, that neither one of them had access to it while it was hektish. And the answer, they're saying, they're taking a new position that the temple treasurer is like the owner of the consecrated produce, and he's empowered to separate miser from it while it's hektish. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara's answer is the produce that was consecrated is considered something to which you and the levy do not have equal access, because the temple had rights to the produce while it was in its possession, whereas the levy did not. It's a little complicated, this question. Let me see if I can figure out how to simplify it a little bit. Pause. Okay, so I think that to make it a little easier is to kind of like, you have to leave out a bit of what we were quoting from footnote 10. I think it's too much, too wordy. The Gemara is basically saying a very simple idea here. Ma ben hefker, ma ben hekdesh. Why is hefker if you do it while it is shibolim before the miruach, your pater? And the same thing by hekdesh is still chayiv. The Gemara's answer is that when it comes to hefker, everybody has exactly the same access to the tefillah when you're mafker it. Everyone can be zoicha in it. So at that point, the tefillah becomes pater from maisers. When it comes to hekdesh, you still have an inequality between the Yadukha, which we're saying is the owner of this, which we're calling the Gizbar, and we're saying that the Gizbar is an owner, has access to the Hekdesh, in the sense that he could redeem the Hekdesh if he wanted to, I guess. He can be netted from it. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what it means. He's Shovinbol. It's not Shovinbol. I was trying to make it that it's not the same. Hefker, everyone is Shovah, but Hekdesh is not Shovah because there's a Gizbar. As long as there's a Gizbar, we're not all the same. Mele Yechayv and Maishus. Well, Yotzi de Gizbar. And footnote 10, he's just saying that the Gizbar could also, at this point, take Maishus. On Rabbanan, and the alternate distinction is Afilu de Bailam Yotzi. Even the Bailam. It's not hasn't completely left his ownership because we want the owner to be part of the Hekdesh first, and therefore he is more shaykhus to it than the Levi. Now we're not Mibbeis on base. Abzeira Rabyasa Bashem Rablazar Hazreas de Hefker Chaiba Maisus. If you go ahead and you plant a sort of Hefker, you're Chaiba in the Maisus. The question is, why is that? Because somewhere in the Pshat is that the Zriya itself creates a Maisa Kinyan in the Soda. And therefore, since there's a Maisa Kinyan in the Soda, so it ends up that the Soda is no longer Hefker, that the whole thing is yours. So Mela, Zareya, Soda Hefker, is Chayim Maisa because you become the owner. Rabbi Yoina Mapik Lishna Mizaka Bistay Hefker Vigidulah. That you acquired the ownerless field and its growths. What's he adding by that? Let's see. He wanted to avoid a misconception in footnote 1 that could result from the way Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Yossi reported Rabbi Blaze's ruling. Why? If you merely sow an ownerless field but you don't acquire its growths, he's in fact not Chayv and Maestros. How could he be since the produce is not his? Rather, the cases where a person encountered an ownerless field with produce already growing in it, and he took possession of it. In that case, the fact that the crops were ownerless for some time while they were standing does not exempt them from having to be tithed, because ownerless causes an exemption only if the produce was ownerless after it was detached from the ground. This is precisely what Rabbi Elazar meant when he said one who sows an ownerless field is obligated. He's talking about a case in which the person sowed a hefker field and a crop grew. He acquired the field together with a standing crop. So he merely expressed Rabbi Elazar's ruling in a clearer manner. So Bekitzer, you can go ahead and be koina ayidei zriya, and if you're koina ayidei zriya, it's no longer hefker. Next, Rabbi Chiya bar Ada abal kumi Rabbi Yechanan. What about these truffles and mushrooms? It's something that was planted and it sprouts. It becomes truffles and mushrooms, they're not planted and sprout. Okay. 3. They will not grow as a result of being planted. Rather, if conditions are right, they will sprout spontaneously. So you can't plant them. The earth merely emits them. They don't grow sustenance directly from the ground. It's not considered something which is gedulah min ha'aretz. it's gedula min ha'avir, so to speak. And since it says mizera ha'aretz, so it has to draw nourishment from the ground that will be high of maizos. Mishnah says, "Vayter afapisho hu shemrei loizavay kol chayv katan v'gadol." So what does that mean? Ha'im eno shomro lohosaf ochalin lechayv katan v'gadol. But if you're not going to be shomer it so that it should get bigger, then I'm not going to be chayv. Five. The Mishnah says the product in question is edible in its present state, even though one protects it to add food. That is, he maintains it growing in the ground in order for it to grow bigger and yield more food. It is liable in tithing. Implied is that if the reason he keeps it growing, not to increase the food supply, but rather for some other non-food reason, suppose he wants to grow it for seeds, for example, it sounds like it's not obligated in tithing. Let's see. That was number five. Rabbi Yimi B'Shem, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Zu L'Haitzi Midib Rabbi Gamliel. The Mishnah is coming to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. This Nina come on. It says in the Mishnah there, 6:4:4, Rabbi Gamliel Aymer, tomorrow shall tilson, shall chado, shall pohalavon, Hayovas v'maisos. When it comes to the buds, the fenugreek, mustard, and white beans, the chayav v'maisos. The buds are not the reason they're planted and protected. They're planted and protected for the seeds. Yet Rabbi Gamliel holds that there's an obligation for the buds, since people do eat them. According to our Mishnah, however, the buds will not be obligated in the tithes because the plants are not planted for the sake of the buds. Okay. So to review this one more time, the diuk is that the Mishnah seems to say that you're shomeret because you want to be meisiv eichel. Now, if the end result is not an eichel, rather the end result is seeds, you would not be chayv. That's what would be the mashmos. Now, Rabbi Gamliel holds not that way. He holds that if you have tomorrow shel tilson shkardo hamalavon, you're chayv and meisiv, even though the end result is really seeds. But the fact that if you went ahead and you picked them early, he will obligate these tomorrows, these buds, in Meisr, because some people do eat them. So according to our Mishnah, no, the buds would not be obligated because the plants are not planted for the sake of the buds. So again, we have a basic machlokes between our Tana and Rabbi Gamliel, that our Tana holds if you are growing something for the purpose of seeds, even if you pick it early, you're still not chayiv, because that's not its function. It wasn't planted for the purpose of the buds. And Rav Gamliel holds you are chayiv. That's what Rav Imi said b'shem Rish Lakish. Okay? Am Rav Yosi, v'chi machmas ha'eichel Rav Gamliel machayiv? Is it merely because of the buds that he holds that you're obligated? Me'at afili yarkon. So then even the greens of the plants should also be obligated, since some people eat the greens as well. But you see, Rav Gamliel only obligates only the buds. He doesn't mention the greens. So Rav Gamliel, he holds that the buds are obligated because they're considered food in their own right. So one holds that it has a status of food and someone holds not. Nine. In general, everyone agrees when a plant is grown for the seeds, the other parts are not considered food. The buds of the fenugreek, mustard, and white bean plants, however, are different because although they're primarily grown for the seeds, the buds are significant enough to be considered a food in their own right. As opposed to the plant's leaves, that are somewhat edible, are not considered independent food. So they're from the never hive in Maestros. V'ayid min hadoh. D'toni. It says, I'm Rabbi Yeshua, miyomai lo malani, libi loima lo adam, say lo kait lo chotamari, shal tisam, shal chan, shal paul, love it. He said, in all my days, he never told a person to go collect the buds of the fenugreek mustard and white beans, ushlok, and cook them without separating ties. L'poitrin amaisus, to free him from liability. So in one, he says like this. Rabbi Yeshua says he was never confident to tell people that they should rely on the rabbis of the Mishnah arguing on Rabbi Gamliel and eat the buds without having to take maisers, because he was concerned for Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Maybe they do require tithing. Now, if Rabbi Gamliel's reason for requiring tithing is that he maintains that even when a food is planted for its seeds, the other parts of the plant are also obligated in tithes, why would he be concerned? Our Mishnah clearly holds that the other parts are not obligated. Rather, Rabbi Yeshua understood that everyone agrees with the Mishnah. Other parts are generally not obligated. The dispute is only whether the buds of these are considered food or not. So therefore, he was machmir, he was choshesh, and he didn't want to do it. Okay, Adkan Daf Beis.